Welcome to LiveDoff, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Brachas Daf Chaf Aleph. We're 8 lines from the top. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav. Minai lebirchas haTorah laachrei min haTorah. Where do we have a source, a makor, from the Torah that one is meant to make birchas hamazon, to recite a blessing after food, after bread? Shenamar, as it says, ve'achalta ve'savata ve'rachta. You should eat, be satiated, and then make a bracha. So this is a makor for birchas hamazon. Minayin lebirchas haTorah lefaneu min haTorah. Where do we find a source, a makor in the Torah that one is meant to recite birchas haTorah, to say a bracha prior to learning? Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, ki shem Hashem ekra, havu goyda leilakeinu. This is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to Klal Yisrael. He says, when I will call out the name of Hashem to you, I will make a bracha prior to teaching you the Torah. Havu goyda leilakeinu. You acknowledge, you show greatness to Hashem by acknowledging and responding with Amen. This is Rashi's pshat. The Mashal explains a little different. Ki Shem Hashem Ekro is referring to Shem Hashem, the words, the name of Hashem. The Torah consists of the names of Hashem. Chazal say that the Torah is Shmoisav Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu, is our perception of the essence of Hashem. So that is what Moshe Rabbeinu means when he says, Ki Shem Hashem Ekro, when I will call out the name of Hashem to you, when I will teach you Torah, which is the name of Hashem, you should make a bracha. You should bless, you should say Birchas HaTorah prior to engaging in studying of Torah. So we have a source for a bracha after food and a bracha prior to learning Torah. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, if so, if we have this as a precedent, then let's go further. Lamadnu birchas haTorah la'achreha. We can derive that Torah requires a bracha after learning as well. Min birchas hamazon. We will derive that from birchas hamazon after food. Mikav v'chaymer. We will apply the concept of mikav v'chaymer. And at the same time, we will do something else. Or birchas hamazon lefaneh. We will also learn, we will derive an obligation to make a bracha prior to food. Min birchas haTorah mikav v'chaymer. We will use, we will employ the tool of mikav v'chaymer to learn that food requires a bracha, min haTorah, prior to eating, just as Torah requires a bracha prior to learning. As he explains, birchas haTorah la'achreha min birchas hamazon mikav v'chaymer. We will learn that Torah requires a bracha afterwards, after learning. We will learn that from the bracha berachas hamazon, which is after food, mikav v'chaymer, with a kav v'chaymer as follows. Uma mazon. Since we find that food, she'ein ton lefanav, although it doesn't require bracha before you eat, this is speaking about a biblical obligation, achiv d'oraisa, certainly midrabbanan we make a bracha, but we're speaking about min haTorah. There is no bracha before we eat. Nevertheless, although it's lacking a bracha prior to an lachrav, it nevertheless requires a bracha after eating. So although we find a disadvantage, it doesn't have a bracha before, still it has a bracha afterwards. Torah she'tuna lefaneh, regarding Torah that does require a bracha before we learn, ein adin she'tuna lachreha, certainly it would require a bracha post, after learning. So this is a general concept of a kav v'chaymer, where we take something and we say, well, since it has this advantage, although it has a chesaron and it has this advantage, nevertheless it has this advantage, certainly in another case that does not have this disadvantage, certainly will have the advantage of the halacha. So since mazon has a chesaron, it's lacking, it doesn't have the obligation of a bracha before, still it has a bracha afterwards, Torah that has a bracha before, certainly it will have a bracha after learning as well. At the same token, ubirchas hamazon, we will learn out a halacha regarding birchas hamazon lefaneh, that food requires a bracha beforehand. We will learn that from min birchas haTorah, from the halacha of birchas haTorah, which is a bracha before learning, mikav v'chaymer, with a kav v'chaymer. Uma haTorah, since we find that Torah, although she'ein tuna l'achreha, it doesn't require a bracha after learning, tuna lefaneh, nevertheless it requires a bracha beforehand, mazon, certainly food, she'uton l'achrav, that requires a bracha afterwards, birchas hamazon, and it didn't certainly, she'uton l'fanav, it certainly would require a bracha before eating. So we have the precedents, we have the fact that birchas hamazon is l'achrav, after food, we have the precedent of birchas haTorah, a bracha before we learn. Rav Yechon says, we will derive one from the other, and will obligate, and require a bracha before food, that will be derived from birchas haTorah. We will obligate and require a bracha after learning that will be learned from Berchas Hamazon, from the bracha after food. Says the Gemara, Ikal Mifrach. We can oppose this. We can refute this reasoning as follows. Mala Mazon, we can differentiate between food. Food requires a bracha afterwards, but it is different than Torah. Why? Mala Mazon Shekeinene. When one eats, he becomes full, he becomes satiated, he enjoys, he has the physical pleasure of the food that he ate. Therefore, since he's experiencing the pleasure right now, after he eats, he's required to make a bracha on account of that physical sensation. However, Torah, since it is a spiritual activity, is a ruchnistic involvement, this reasoning wouldn't apply. So you can't compare the two. Mazon requires a bracha afterwards. Torah does not. At the same time, umala Torah, shken chaya olam. You would like to learn Torah from food. You would like to learn food from Torah and say, just like Torah requires a bracha before one engages in the activity in limud Torah, similarly, food will require a bracha prior to eating. Says the Gemara, there's a big difference. Mala Torah shken chaya olam. Torah is different. That it is chaya olam, it's eternal life. It's an outer world experience. It's something sublime. You're rising to a higher realm when you learn Torah. Therefore, it is appropriate to enable yourself to rise to that occasion by saying a bracha, by brachas haTorah. That empowers you. That enables you to connect to the Torah, which is much greater than this world. It's chaya olam. So that's fitting for Torah, but not to food. So you can't learn one from the other. You can't learn Torah from food. You can't learn food from Torah. They're two separate realms. And we have a proof to prove this, that food does not require a bracha beforehand, min haTorah. From our Mishnah, it says in our Mishnah, Vo'itnan, ala mazoin mevarach la'achrov, ve'ein mevarach lefanov. A Baal Keri who is prohibited from uttering words of tefillah, of words of Torah, Mishnah told us he is maharer, he contemplates, he thinks in his mind the words of Krishma, the words of Birchas HaMazon, he's Mevarach La'achrav, since it is a din min haTorah, it's an obligation min haTorah, it's a biblical obligation, but not, Ve'enu Mevarach Lefanav, he doesn't make a bracha before the food, before his bread. Why? And the explanation is because there's a difference between these two brachas. Birchas HaMazon, bracha following food is Deiraisa. So we're stringent with him, we obligate him to be Maharer in that bracha. However, Birchas HaMazon Lefanav, making a bracha rishona prior to eating, that's merely the rabbana. Therefore, he's not obligated to do so. So you see clearly in the Mishnah, stipulated the difference between the two brachas, that one is min haTorah, and one is merely midrabanan. The bracha prior to eating is only midrabanan, and this is a refutation, to yufta, a refutation on Rav Yochanan's opinion. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda. Safik kara krishma, safik lekara. One who has a doubt, he's uncertain of whether he leined Shema, he recited Krishma, he's not sure if he did or he didn't. He doesn't need to go back and be Kore and recite again. Safek Omar MSV Atziv. Safek lo Yomar. However, if his Safek, if his doubt is regarding the bracha of MSV Atziv, that's the first bracha after Krishma, and he's not sure whether he said MSV Atziv or not, in that case, Choyzer v'oymer MSV Atziv. He needs to repeat again and to ensure that he has fulfilled his obligation, and he needs to say it again. MSV Yatziv seems to be more weighty than Krishma. Says, well, my time, what's the difference? Why, regarding Krishma, do we say we're lenient, he doesn't need to go back? Regarding MSV Yatziv, we're machmer, we obligate him to recite it again so that we're sure that he has fulfilled. My time, what is the reason between the two things? Krishma derabbanon, MSV Yatziv deraisa. Krishma, reciting Krishma is merely derabbanon. MSV Yatziv, however, is Deiraisa. So apparently Rav Yehuda's Shita is that the Chi of Krishma, B'shachpach of Kumecha, is merely Derabbanan. The Gemara soon will explain how does this fit with the Pasuk of B'shachpach of Kumecha. But that is the Shita. However, regarding MSV Yatziv, that is Deiraisa, since it consists of references to Yitzias Mitzrayim, to the Nisim and the Floyds that took place when we left Egypt. Therefore, that is a fulfillment of a biblical obligation. That is a chiv d'oraisa, as we learned from the pasuk of Laman Tizis Koris Yom Tzeis Chameres Mitzrayim Kol Yimei Chayecha. One is required to mention the Nisim of Tzeis Mitzrayim every day of one's life. So, if one has a suffix in this regard, he's not sure of whether he recited MSV Yatziv, which includes Tzeis Mitzrayim. That is a mitzvah d'oraisa. When he has a suffix with a mitzvah d'oraisa, we know the general rule. that suffig d'oraisa l'chumra. When one has a doubt regarding a d'oraisa matter, we need to go l'chumra. We take the stringent route. We take the stringent approach, and he needs to repeat it again to ascertain that he was yotze, that he fulfilled. However, regarding krishma, since it is merely drabanan, there we employ the rule of suffig drabanan l'kula, and we follow the lenient route, since it's involving a rabbinic obligation, a chiyuv drabanan. Continues the Gemara. How can you say so? How can you say that krishma is merely drabanan? Masra Rav Yosef, it's a clear pasuk in the Torah that when you lie down, when you arise, you recite shema. Amalei Abaye, who would ever Torah ksiv? That pasuk is referring to the obligation of every yid, every Jew, to learn at least one portion of Torah at night and one portion of Torah in the morning, as the Gemara says, Perek Echad Shachris U Perek Echad Arvis. That is the minimum requirement for every Jew. Every yid must learn a portion of Torah, and that is what the pasuk is referring to when the pasuk says, "Veshach b'chav kamecha." Learn Torah, any portion of Torah, whatever you may choose, when you lie down at night and when you wake up, when you rise, meaning in the morning. But it's not referred to Krishma. There's no chiv to recite those specific words, those specific portions, those specific parashas. The reason why we akur shema in this manner, that is a chiv derabanan that was enacted by the rabbanan. So getting back to Rabbi Yehuda's chiddush, since krishma, meaning reciting these specific portions, these specific parashas, are merely midrabanan, since he will be yotzei his chiv deraisa by learning other portions of Torah. So since he has a suffix, a doubt regarding having read these specific parashas, and this is only a chiv midrabanan, so we go lekula, and he need not recite them again. However, regarding Emes V'Yatziv, since it includes Yitzias Mitzrayim, a reference to our Exodus from Egypt, which is Achid Oraisa, in that case we say Safak L'Chumra, and he must recite it again. Tanan, let's prove from our Mishnah regarding this whole topic. Balkeri Mahar B'Libo says in the Mishnah that a Balkeri contemplates in his heart, he thinks, V'Enem Avarach, but he doesn't utter, he doesn't express the words. Now, V'Loy L'Fonev V'Lalachra, the Mishnah told us that he must be Mahara. Mahara what? Mahara Krishma. He must recite the words of Krishma in his heart. But Ve'enu Mevarach, but he doesn't make any brachis. Loy lafoneh v'lal achreah. Not the brachis prior to Krishma, nor the brachis following Krishma. Continues the Mishnah of Al Hamazon on food. Mevarach la'achrav. He benches, he makes the brachis Hamazon. Ve'enu Mevarach lafoneh, but not the bracha prior to eating. And again, this is all in his heart. Says the Gemara. Why is he not obligated to say the bracha after Shema? You've just told me that the bracha of Emes V'Yatziv is the Oraisa. So why is there a difference between Krishma, which is the Oraisa, and we obligate him to do so, and regarding Emes V'Yatziv, that we don't? If Emes V'Yatziv as well is a Chiv the Oraisa, since it includes mentioning of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Liv L'Chachreah, he should be obligated, he should be required, the Balkeri should be required to make a bracha after Krishma, the bracha of Emes V'Yatziv, since it is a Mitzvah the Oraisa. Says the Gemara, my time in Mavarach, why would you want him to make the bracha? Is it because it contains Yitzias Mitzrayim? Ha'atkulebi Krishma. This fellow, since he was Maharar Krishma, he recited the words of Krishma in his heart, so he was already Yitzay. He already contemplated Yitzias Mitzrayim, because we know in the third parasha of Yitzias Mitzrayim, of Krishma, the parasha's Vayomer, it concludes with Yitzias Mitzrayim, so he has already fulfilled his obligation of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So in this case, that he recited the entire Shema in his heart, there's no need, mid-araisa, for him to continue on and say Emes V'Yatziv. It is merely a chiyuv d'rabbanan, and regarding a Valkyrie, we do not obligate him to do chiyuv d'rabbanan. Says the Gemara again, if you're concerned about mentioning Yitzias Mitzrayim, ho'atkelei b'krishma, he already mentioned it within Krishma, at the conclusion of the final portion of Krishma. Says the Gemara, another kasha. Why then do you obligate him to say Krishma and not Emes V'Yatziv? Why do you pick and choose? Why do you prefer to do it that way? Perhaps do the opposite. Let him say the brachas Emes V'Yatziv, include in it mentioning of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and he won't be required to say Shema. If the whole point, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is simply since he's required to fulfill his obligation of Yitzias Mitzrayim, so there's no advantage of Kriya Shema over Emes V'Yatziv. Rabbi Yehuda holds, let's remember, Rabbi Yehuda holds that Kriya Shema is merely the Rabbanon. The only point here is to be yotzei the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is included in the Krishma. But if there's no advantage to saying Krishma over Emes V'Yatziv, why do we prefer that he says Krishma and includes Yitzias Mitzrayim? Why doesn't he just say Emes V'Yatziv and include Yitzias Mitzrayim? Again, inside, v'nei maha, let him recite emes v'yatzev and include yitzias mishraim. V'lo yilibay ha, he will not be required to recite krishma. Says the Gemara, there's an advantage. There's a milo of krishma over emes v'yatzev. Krishma adifa. Krishma is superior to yitzpei tarti, since it has two elements. It has, number one, the element of yitzias mishraim, but it also, let's remember, it has the element of malchus shamayim, of being a kabbal on oneself, the yoke of heaven, committing yourself to Hashem's kingship, as we mentioned up until now in the Masechta, and therefore Krishma is definitely superior. It is better for him to recite Krishma and include both elements rather than simply say Emes V'yatzev and only have Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that is the first shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Krishma is midrabbonon, Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is included in Emes V'yatzev, is midoraisa. Continues the Gemara. Rav Lezer Omer, Rav Lezer disagrees. He holds that Krishma is midoraisa. Safek kora krishma, safek lekora. If one has a doubt, he's uncertain of whether he recited krishma, choyze v'kora krishma, he needs to recite it again. He needs to be sure, be certain he has fulfilled his obligation, since krishma certainly is a chiyuv min haTorah. And we know when we have a safek regarding a doraisa, we go lechumra, we're stringent, he must make sure that he has fulfilled his obligation. However, this is regarding krishma. Regarding tefillah, which is a chiyuv midrabbanan, safek yispalel, safek lo yispalel, if he's unsure of whether he davened, ein chayzim yispalel, he does not daven again, since tefillah, as we mentioned yesterday, is a chiyuv midrabbanan, and therefore safek drabbanan lekulam. So this is the second shita in the Gemara. Rav Yochanan Amar, a third shita, even regarding tefillah, he should daven again. Why? Valavai, meaning if only she is spalodam kolayim kula. If only one would daven the entire day, one would be immersed in prayer the entire day. The meaning here is that tefillah involves requesting Hashem for one's needs, beseeching Hashem's rachmanas, His mercy. Everybody needs that constantly. That's something that somebody perhaps should be engaged in the entire day. Therefore, even if somebody is uncertain whether he daven, he should daven again. It's okay. It's just to his benefit to daven again, even if in reality he had already davened once, it's okay. Halavai shiyispalon kol hayom. Now Rashi points out that according to Rabbi Yochanan, this halacha wouldn't just apply in a safek. If you're unsure if you davened, you should daven again, because of this term, this concept of halavai shiyispalon kol hayom. Rashi says a chiddush that even according to Rabbi Yochanan, even if one is certain that he already davened, he may daven again, if only for this reason that halavai shiyispalon adam kol hayom. So we have three shitas in the Gemara. In summary, we have Rav Yehuda that holds that suffolk by krishma, you do not go back. Why? Because krishma is midrabbanan. We have another shita that says Rav Lezer holds suffolk krishma, he does go back and recite, since krishma is midaraisa. They both agree that emes v'yatzev is min haTorah and he needs to go back if he's uncertain. Regarding tefillah, Rav Lezer says if he has a suffolk, he doesn't daven again. According to Rav Yochanan, he does repeat his tefillah again. Continues the Gemara. We will have three cases in the Gemara, three halachas applying to davening. V'am Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, ha'yayimid tefillah, one was standing in the middle of davening, v'niska shispal, he realizes, oops, I already davened once. Poisek, he stops, he cuts short, v'afilu b'emtza bracha, even in the middle of a bracha. He may not conclude, he may not finish his davening, he stops right there, cuts right here. Eini, is that so? V'amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said the following story. Ki avinan be'rabi Ravua. When I was in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Ravua, bo'in minei. They asked of him the following question. Hani b'nei be'rav. Those b'nei ha'yeshiva, those students of the academy. The Tau umatkri, the Chol B'Shabbos. They erred, they made a mistake. They erroneously mentioned, they daven the text of Chol, the Nusach, of the weekday Nusach, the weekday text of Shemoneh Esrei, but Shabbos. On Shabbos, we know that on Shabbos, the middle brachas of a weekday are replaced by a single bracha of Shabbos. So what if these fellows had were davening, and they were in the middle of davening, and they realized that they were davening the text of Chol, the Nusach of Chol, the weekday davening, the weekday Shemoneh Esrei, and it was on Shabbos. Mao Shigamru, should they conclude, should they finish the bracha that they were in the middle of reciting? Ba'amarlan, and he responded and he said, the Rabbi Avo responded and he said, Goyimin Kloitsa Bracha. Yes, they conclude that bracha, they finish till the end, and then switch over to the proper nusach, the proper text of Shabbos. So we see here that when one has erred in his tefillah, he may conclude, he may finish what he's saying. So why do we say that if one was in the middle of davening and he realized, oops, I already davened once, he cuts right there, we don't even allow him to finish, to conclude the bracha? Says the Gemara, there's a big difference. Hachi ashta, there's a big difference. Ha sam gavar b'chayivahu. Over there, regarding the tefillah of Shabbos, the person is obligated, meaning in theory, one should really daven the whole entire tefillah just as during the weekday. However, the Rabbanon substituted the lengthy tefillah of the weekday with a single bracha of Shabbos. Again, hachi ashta, now, here, ha sam gavar b'chayivah, who? Over there, by the tefillah of Shabbos, the person in theory is obligated to daven the entire davening. Rabbanon didn't trouble him on account of the honor of Shabbos. The Rabbanon had a reason for substituting the weekday tefillah with the Shabbos tefillah. But in theory, a person is really obligated to recite the entire Shemoneh Esrei as during the weekdays. So therefore, in this case that they had already begun, we allow them to conclude at least that bracha, since in theory this bracha is really applicable to Shabbos as well. But in our case, where one realizes in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, oops, I already davened, so he's not obligated. He had already fulfilled his obligation. He already davened. He cannot repeat the same tefillah again. So therefore, he has to stop, cut short right there. He can't even conclude the bracha or the tefillah that he's in the middle of saying. A third halacha of Amar Vidam Shmuel is Spalil, one who has already davened, if a nichnas lebeis haknesses, he enters the shul, a matzah, tzibur shem espalim, he sees the congregation immersed in tefillah. Can he join them? Can he daven again? Says the Gemara, miyochal lechalish badover yachsev espalim. If he's able to, if he's capable of being mechalish badover, to create a new tefillah, to express a personal tefillah, to include something new in the second Shemoneh Esrei, something personal. Paiskim say that preferably he should do it in every bracha. He should insert some personal request, if not at least in one of the brachas. So if he can do that, that will change the form of his tefillah, that would make it into a new type of tefillah, yachsev espalel, then he can go repeat his tefillah and daven together with the tzibur and seize the opportunity of tefillah b'tzibur once again. V'imlav, but if he's not able to add a personal prayer, al yachsev espalel, he can't just repeat the same tefillah again, although right now he has the opportunity to daven together with the congregation, he shouldn't do so. So now we have, in conclusion, we have three halachas regarding tefillah. Number one, if one is in the middle of davening when he becomes aware of the fact that he already davened previously, he must cut right there, he can't continue. And we had the other halacha regarding the confusion of weekday and Shabbos prayers, in that case he can conclude the bracha. And finally we had another halacha, Rida Meshmoel, that if one had already davened and he arrives in the shul and he sees the tzibur davening, so then he can join them provided that he's able to insert a personal prayer. So, in effect, we have two rulings, two halachas in the name of Shmuel that are essentially the same halacha. We have the first halacha that one who is in the middle of davening realizes he already davened, he can't daven again. We have this halacha that one who had already davened can't repeat his tefillah even if he is now in a shul. So, as the Gemara Tzricha, why does Shmuel have to teach us both halachas? Aren't they essentially the same point? Shmuel only have taught us the first halacha. I would think perhaps that only applies to a case where an individual davened on his own, he already davened, and now he's in the middle of his second time around and he realizes, hey, I already davened. In that case, he can't repeat the tefillah again. Or a tzibur v'tzibur, if the first time was in a tefillah v'tzibur within a congregation, and now he again is in a tzibur, and he is davening again, he realizes his mistake, says Shmuel, he can't repeat, he can't daven again. Since they're both similar concepts, they're both a repetition of what he already done earlier. Aval yochad legabit tzibur, but in our case, where the first tefillah took place when he was an individual, he davened on his own. But now he came into the tzibur, into the congregation, he sees the tzibur davening. I would think perhaps this is a whole new significance, this is a whole new type of tefillah. This is so much more chashev, so much more significant. Aval yochad legabit tzibur, an individual tefillah in relation to this great tefillah b'tzibur commander, it would be considered as if he had never davened, in proportion to the significant tefillah b'tzibur. Perhaps his earlier tefillah doesn't count, and he should be allowed to daven again with the tzibur. K'mash malon, he informs us that is not so. Since he already davened, he may not repeat his tefillah unless he could insert a personal prayer. V'yashminun hacha, if Shmuel would only teach us the final halacha. Regarding one who enters the shul, having already davened, Shmuel teaches us he can't repeat his tefillah. If Shmuel would only teach us this halacha, I would say, you know why? Since he hadn't begun yet, so you can't begin to daven a tefillah that you already davened. But in the first case of Shmuel, discussing a case where a person had already begun davening in the middle, he realizes, he becomes aware of the fact that he already davened. In that case, I would think, perhaps since he already began, he may conclude and finish his tefillah tzricha. Shmuel needs to inform us, no, that is not the case. He may not even finish his bracha or his tefillah. He must stop right there. So in conclusion, we have three halachas pertaining to davening. Number one, if one begins his tefillah realizing and then realize that he already davened, he must stop right there. And the reason is because Hatzalila, since he already davened, you can't repeat the same tefillah again. We have the second halacha regarding the confusion of weekday and Shabbos Shemoneh Esrei. If you have already begun the tefillah and the bracha of Choyl, you may conclude that bracha and then switch over to the Shabbos tefillah. The reason there is, since in theory, the text of the weekday applies to Shabbos as well, therefore you may conclude that bracha. And finally, the halacha of one who enters a shul having already previously davened, he may not daven again unless he can insert, include, b'machadish, something personal into his tefillah to give it a new flavor, to give it a new format. And the reason for that is, since he has already davened earlier, although now he has the opportunity to daven with a tzibur, which he hadn't done earlier, nevertheless he may not repeat the same tefillah again. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna. Hanichas lebeis haknesses, one who enters the shul, umas tzibur shemespalim, he finds the congregation in the middle of prayer, they're in the middle of davening. So the question is, can he begin his Shemoneh Esrei in the middle of the tzibur Shemoneh Esrei? Says Rav Huna, im yochel lahaschav ligmor ach leigi shliach tzibur lemoidim. The concern here is that when the shliach tzibur will begin his chazar sashatz and he will get to the point of moidim, we know that during moidim everybody bows down. So the concern here is that he should have enough time available to begin and end, to complete his entire tefillah by the time the tzibur will get to that point of bowing, because he needs to join them. He can't be standing still, erect, during his Shemoneh Esrei while the tzibur is bowing. It seems like he doesn't want to take part in bowing to Hashem. So if he can complete his entire tefillah by the time the tzibur gets to moedim yispalel, he can proceed. But he doesn't have enough time available to do that. Al yispalel, don't begin. Wait for moedim, bow with the crowd, and then start your tefillah. So the concern here is regarding moedim. Rabbi Shoban Levi Omar, we have another concern as well. Im yachal ha'aschav ligmar, if he can complete his tefillah achle agiya shliach tzibur kedusha, before the shliach tzibur gets to the point of saying kedusha, and he will then be able to join the congregation in reciting kedusha yispalel, he may be mispalel, he can daven, make sure to finish before kedusha and join the rest of the congregation in kedusha. V'imlav, but if there's not enough time available to do so, al yispal, don't begin davening, because kedusha is so important, and kedusha is something which he can't recite on your own. A yachar individual can't do it on his own, so you must make sure not to miss the opportunity to say kedusha. So we have a machlekes regarding the concern for kedusha. Rav Huna says the concern is merely regarding moedim, make sure to bow with the crowd. Regarding kedusha, that is not a concern. Rav Shmuel Levi says the concern is regarding kedusha as well. Says the Gemara b'Maika Miflagi. What is the basis for their machlekes? Why is Rav Shmuel Levi concerned with this individual missing kedusha, and why is Rav Huna not concerned? Says the Gemara, the reason is Mar Savar, because Rav Huna holds yachad em kedusha. Even a yachad individual can recite kedusha on his own. So even if he misses kedusha of the tzibur, he can always make it up on his own. Omar Savar, Rav Shmuel Levi holds, ein yachad em kedusha. An individual cannot recite kedusha on his own. Therefore, we're concerned that he shouldn't miss out on the kedusha of the tzibur. Says the Gemara, v'chein amar v'adabar ava, minayin she'ina yachad em kedusha. How do we know that an individual cannot say the words of kedusha? Shenemar, as it says, v'nigdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael, I'll be sanctified amongst the b'nei Yisrael. We darshan as follows, kol davar shebekdusha, all sanctifying words, lo yepachos ma'asara, should only take place amongst 10 people, no less. My mashma, where do we find a reference to the number 10 in this pasuk? Says the Gemara, the Tani Rav Noi Achva, he was the brother of Rav Chia bar Abba, as follows. As Yitoich Toich, we make a connection, Exeris Shava. The word Toich that is stated in our Pasuk with the word Toich stated elsewhere. Ksiv Hacher, it says by us, V'nigdashti B'soich Bnei Yisrael. Ksiv Hasim, it says elsewhere. V'hibadlu Mitoich Eida Azois. Separate yourself from this Eida, Mitoich Eida Azois. And over there, Malahalan, over there, it's referring to Asara. Just like there, the word mitoich is in the context of 10 people, Afkan, so too by us. The word besoich is specifically only in the context of 10 of a minyan, Afkan Asar. Continues the Gemara. Udekuli am, everybody agrees, miyas, though miyafsak lepasik. When one is in the middle of Shemin Esrei, he can't interrupt to say Kedusha. Says the Gemara, Barilu, they propose the question as follows. Maula hafsik, is a person allowed to interrupt for to say the Heishmei Agadam Avarach to recite the tefillah, the bracha of Yeheishmei Rabban Varach, is it so special that allows interruption? Kiyas Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came Amar, he said as follows, Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, Talmid, Rav Yechon, they were the students of Rav Yechon, they said as follows, Amar, they said, L'koil emafsikin, one cannot interrupt for anything, except chutz, min Yeheishmei Agadam Avarach, Hashem's great name should be blessed. This is a statement of such profound significance that even the Afilu Oisuk Masim Merkav, even if one's immersed and engaged in the study of the Masim Merkav, the vision of Hashem's Malachim, of the procession taking place in heaven, which is described in the Navi Chavakuk, even then, Paisik, he must interrupt to say the special statement of Yehei Shmei Rabba Mavarach. Concludes the Gemara, V'les Hilchus Chavisayu, the Halacha doesn't follow this opinion, and we do not interrupt for anything during Shemoneh Esrei. Continues the Gemara. Rav Yehuda Imer, Mevarech Lefneim Lachreim. This is speaking about a Baal Keri. Rav Yehuda allows him to recite the brachos before and after Krishma, before and after food. Lememer, says the Gemara, it appears from here, the Kosav Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda holds, Baal Keri Mutar Dvar Torah. There's no prohibition for a Baal Keri to converse in words of Torah. How could that be so? Va'amar Shom Alevi. Minayin, what do we find? How do we know the Baal Keri Sha'asub Dvar Torah? That he's not allowed to speak the Torah, Shanem, as it says, you should teach your children and your grandchildren Torah. And nearby, there's another pasuk that says, the day that you stood in front of Hashem Bechor Bahar Sinai, it's describing the experience of receiving the Torah Bahar Sinai. And we make a drasha called Smuchen. The fact that the Torah placed these psukim next to each other, it's meant to teach us a lesson to derive one from the other. And we learn as follows. Malahalan, just like the pasuk describing Har Sinai, Balikeri and Asurin, the ones who have experienced Keri, were not allowed to be present. We know that they were required to purify themselves prior to Matan Torah. So there is a prohibition, a restriction for Balikerin. Afkan here too, regarding the pasuk describing teaching Torah to your children, Balikeri and Asurin, a Balikeri is excluded. So we have a source from the drush of Smuchim, from the Psukim, that a Baal Keri is not allowed to speak words of Torah. The Rishonim explains certainly the prohibition of Baal Keri to discuss words of Torah is a Drabbanan. However, this is an Asmachta. The Rabbanan based their Takan on these Psukim. So how could Rav Yehuda not agree with this? Says Zimor V'chitem, or perhaps you propose. Rav Yehuda L'idar Smuchim. Rav Yehuda doesn't agree. Rav Yehuda doesn't go along with this whole concept of expounding on Smuchim, on Psukim that are joined next to each other. How could that be so? From Rav Yosef, the Rav Yosef teach us, even the opinion that doesn't follow, doesn't agree with Smuchim, for instance, Rav Yehuda, that is only B'chal Torah, the rest of the Torah. But Mishnah Torah Darsh, however, regarding Smuchim that occur in Mishnah Torah, which is Chumash Dvarim, over there, even Rav Yehuda will agree that we must expound, we must Darsh in Smuchim. Why? What's the difference? So the reason is because Mishnah Torah is a Chazar, a review of the Parshias of the Halachas of the Torah. So even if in the other portions of Torah we say that the Eim Uktam Mukhab Torah, we don't dwell on the sequence, on the order. However, in Mishnah Torah, when the Torah was repeated, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu repeat it in the same exact sequence as it is stated in the other Chumashim? Why did he change the sequence? Apparently he was coming to teach us a lesson, and we do expound the Ad Dorir Smuchim. When Psukim are situated in a specific order, it's meant to teach us something. So again, even though, even the Shita that doesn't agree with Smuchim elsewhere in Mishnah Torah, he does dash in Smuchim. And these Psukim that we mentioned regarding Baal Keri are situated in Mishnah Torah. Says the Gemara, Daha, Rav Yehuda l'dar Smuchim chala Torah kula. We find that indeed Rav Yehuda does not dash in Smuchim elsewhere, but over Mishnah Torah darsh, in Mishnah Torah he does dash in. What do we find that he differentiates between Kula Torah Kula that he doesn't darshan? The Sanya Ben Azai Omer, Ben Azai says as follows: Ne'emar mechashev le'zechaya, a sorceress should not be allowed to live. She should be put to death. And which misa, what type of death penalty will she receive? That we know from a drasha, because nearby it says Ve'emar kol shoychem behemoshimus, one who has relations with a behema, he'll be put to death. And we know that he'll be put to death with the misa of skila. So we connect the two things. Some chayiniloi, the Torah connected this inyan, this halacha of shoychem behema, next to the halacha of mechashefa, to teach us ma shoychem behema beskila, just like a shoychem behema receives skila, a mechashefa nami beskila, and mechashefa as well will receive skila. So we see Ben Azai expound darshan smuchim to teach us the halacha of mechashefa. Amalei Rav Yehuda, read the response. Just because the Torah connects the two things, puts them next to each other, Noitzil Zel Eskila will go take the Mechashefa to the worst form of a death penalty. You have no right to do so. Ella, but rather we will find a source, a makar for the Misa of Mechashefa from elsewhere. Ella as follows. Oy V'yadoini. There are two types of sorcerers that they communicate with dead people, with bones of ass, with bones of animals. They're in the category of machashefa. So they were included, they should have been included in the category of all the other machashfim. V'lama yatsu, why did the Torah single them out to explicitly state that these two oivi yedoini will receive skila? Why did the Torah find the need to be mefarish, to single them out other than the rest of the category of Mechashim? We will apply the concept of Kol Dovah Shalei Bechlal, anything that was within a category, and Yotza Torah removes it, singles it out, and applies specific halachas to that thing that was singled out. It is not meant to be restricted to that thing only, but rather it's a revelation that will apply, that halacha will apply to the rest of the category as well. So here too says Rav Yehuda, why did the Torah single out Ovi Yedoni from the rest of the group? It is meant to connect to the rest and to teach you. Ma Ovi Yedoni beskila, just as Ovi Yedoni, the Torah specifically gives us the halacha of skila. They were singled out. The Torah explicitly stated the penalty of skila regarding Ovi Yedoni. Af machasheva beskila is meant to connect and reveal on the rest of the group that everybody receives skila as well. So that is the source, the makar of skila from machsheva. It's not because of the smuchim, but rather because of this aforementioned principle. So we see Rav Yehuda doesn't agree with smuchim. He doesn't agree that we darshan smuchim with regard to the rest of the Torah. However, in Mishnah Torah, we find that he does darshan smuchim. Mishnah Torah menol on the darsh. Where do we find that? The Sanya Vila Zoymer. Noisa adam anusas avim futus avim. One may marry the anusa of his father and the mefuta of his father. Now we know that one may not marry the wife of his father. What about an anusa, one who he forcibly had relations with her? That's an anusa. Mefuta is one who he convinced, who he seduced. Is that too included in the prohibition? So Rav Lezer, no, one may marry the anusa of his father and the mefuta of his father. Similarly, regarding a father marrying the anusa of his son and the mefuta of his son, since it wasn't his real wife, that is allowed. Anusa smray, mefuta smray, that too is allowed. Rav Yehuda oiser Banusas Aviv, Mfutas Aviv. Ruda says one may not marry the Anusa of his father or the Mfut of his father. V'amar Avgidam Arav, my time with the Ruda. What is the Ruda base his opinion on? What is the reason? The Chsiv, as it says in the Pasuk, Lo Yikach Ishas Eishas Aviv, one may not marry the wife of his father. V'lo Yigale Knaf Aviv. One may not reveal the robe of his father, Ridarshan Knaf Shav Aviv, the robe that his father saw, Lo Yigale, shouldn't reveal. So this is referring to not only his real wife, but even one who he was ma'anes or mefata. How do we know that this term knaf ovev is referring to this case? The reason is the samachle, because nearby we find the parsha that discusses oynes. Discussing the parsha of one who is ma'anes somebody, the penalties involved. So the fact that the Torah puts these two together, joins these two topics together, that's a revelation. That knaf ovev too is referring to oynes and mefata. So you see clearly that Rav Yehuda does expound on smuchim in Mishnah Torah. So why then doesn't he agree with the issur of a balkari, which was derived from smuchim Mishnah Torah? Says the Gemara Amri, they said, in true, the Mishnah Torah darish. Indeed, he darshins smuchim Mishnah Torah. V'hani smuchim ibayilei li'idach to Rishon Levi. However, this is another problem. The psukim that we use to derive Valkeri, Rav Yehuda needs it, it requires to teach us another lesson, a lesson taught to us by Shlomo Levi. Therefore, it's unavailable to teach us about Valkeri. The Amr of Shlomo Levi, called Malavid of Noi Torah, one who teaches his son Torah, Malav HaKasa Torah, regards him on such a high level, Kilo Kilo Marachayev, as if he himself was present and accepted the Torah by Har Sinai. Shenemar, V'hoidatam Ovenecha Ve'venecha, you will teach your children and your grandchildren Torah, Uksiv Asrei, and immediately afterwards it says, Yoy Masher Matav Neshem Lekech B'chayev, the day that you stood by Har Sinai. So the Torah regards one who teaches his children Torah as if he was so special and witnessed Matan Torah, he received personally the Torah. So that's the point of the smuchim, and not to teach us Valkeri. So in summary, according to the Chachamim, we're always there in smuchim, whether it's Mishneh Torah, whether it's elsewhere. According to Rabbi Yehuda, only in Mishneh Torah are we there in smuchim, but not elsewhere. Now what do we derive from the smuchim regarding the pasuk of Eidatam Levanecha Levanecha? According to Rabbanan, this forms the basis for Takanas Ezra to restrict a Valkeri from speaking words of Torah and Tefillah. According to Rav Yehuda, it is teaching us the significance, the importance of teaching one's children and grandchildren Torah. Continues the Gemara, six lines from the bottom, Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah. Now just a quick introduction here, that the restriction to a Valkeri is strictly to a Valkeri, not to any other individual, regardless of what tumah they may possess, even a more stringent tumah like Ziva or Nida, says the Mishnah. Zav Shiro Keri, one who was already a Zav, and his tummy for 7 days, requires a whole procedure to purify himself. Then, in the midst of a ziva, he became a balkeri. So now he has two tumas, or a nida, shapalta shechazera, a woman who was a nida, which is a stringent tuma, and she expelled zera, she became a balaskeri on that account, or hamashameshes, a woman who was mishamesh, who did tashmish v'ros adam, and then she saw adam. So now she's also a nida. Tzrichan tefillah, the Tanakhama holds all these people required to be toivel in order to speak words of Torah and Tefillah. Since they are a Balkeri, they are restricted from conversing in Torah until they are toivel. Even though after they are Tefillah, they'll still be Tamei, because their Tumah Chamur, their stringent Tumah of Nida and Ziva, will not be removed by a mere Tefillah. Nevertheless, that is required to allow them to speak Torah. Rabbi Yehuda Poiter says, no, there's no point in obligating them to be toivel, since they'll still remain with the Tumah. They're allowed to speak Torah and Tefillah in their current state. There's no point in obligating a tefillah. Says the Gemara, this implies that Rav Yehuda in principle, in theory, agrees that a Balkeri is restricted, is prohibited in discussing words in Torah and tefillah, because only here in this case he disagrees. Says the Gemara, Ad kan lai patur Rav Yehuda, until here Rav Yehuda exempts them, ella only in this specific case of Zav Shira Keri. Why? Dimikara, because on account of his first Tumas Ziva, la var tefillahu. Tumas Ziva doesn't require him to be toivel and to allow him to speak words of Torah and Tefillah. It is only the Tumas Keri that arrives later. And since when the Tumas Keri arrives, so now to obligate him to be toivel on account of his Tumas Keri, there's no point, there's no purpose, since he will still remain with his original Tumah of Tumas Ziva. Aval, but Balkeri Greda, this is only in this case where there's a combined Tumah. He has Tumah Ziva with Tumas Keri, so there's no point in him being toivel. But perhaps a person that is strictly merely a Balkeri, Mechayev, certainly Rav Yehuda too, will obligate him to be Toivel. Rav Yehuda agrees with the prohibition, with the restriction of a Balkeri. Says the Gemara, V'chitema, perhaps, I can interpret this Mishnah in a different way. Who had then the same exemption, the same Ptur of Rav Yehuda will apply? I feel a Balkeri greater than Amipata Rav Yehuda. Even a standalone Balkeri, Rav Yehuda will pater him from being Toivel. If so, why does the Mishnah mention these types of cases? V'hai de komiflegi. This is why they are arguing in these cases of Zav Shira Keri. For instance, the case where Zav then became a Balkeri. It is not for the sake of Rav Yehuda's opinion. Rav Yehuda will hold that in any case a Balkeri is exempt from being toivel. It is only lehodiacha, koichan de Rabbanan. It is to teach you, to inform you the extent of the Rabbanan's chiddush, that even in this case where one has a Tumah Chamura, he is still required to be toivel as a result of his Tumas Keri. But in reality, Rav Yehuda disagrees with the whole concept. Says Gemara, okay, if that's the case, let's proceed to the Seifa of the Mishnah. Eima Seifa, let's look at the latter part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah stated three examples, the latter one being Hamashameshes V'ras Adam. One who was Mishamish, she became a Tomei Tumas Keri, and then she sees Dam. Tzricha Tefillah, she's required to be Tevil. Now says the Gemara, let's analyze this. What is the point and purpose of bringing this last case? Laman Ketanala. According to whose opinion do we need this last case? Ilay Mele Rabbanon, if it is to demonstrate the opinion of the Rabbanon, Pshita, it is obvious, it is simple from the first two cases. Because in the first two cases we have situations where the individual had the Tumah Chamura come first, for instance, a Zav, and then he became a Malkari, or a Nida, and then she became a Balskari, and even over there, the Rabbanon obligate them to be Toivel on account of the Keri that came last. So we have a Kavah Chaymer. Hashta, certainly, Ma Zav Shira Keri. Certainly a case where a Zav then became a Balkari. The Mikor Labar Tvilahu. The first Tumah of Ziva did not require Tvilah. Still and all, Mechayvi Rabbanon, the Rabbanon obligated to be Toivel. Although the first Tumah did not obligate a Tvilah, only the second Tumah. Certainly in the case of a Meshameshes Ras Adam, certainly in the last case, that a Isha was Meshamesh, which that requires Tvilah, that is a Tumas Keri, and then gets added the Tumas Nida, the Mikor Bas Tvilah, on account of the first Tumah of Meshameshes, she is required to be Tevel. Like Koshkin, certainly in that case, the Rabbanon will obligate, so there's no point in listing the third case. We know it from the first two cases. We can derive it from the first two cases. So what's the point? Ella, it must be that the Mishnah is teaching us. Love Rabbi Yehuda, isn't it coming to teach us the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? That, v'davka k'tanila, that only in this case of Meshameshes Ras Hanida, since she added the Tumas Nida to her original Tumas Keri, therefore Rabbi Yehuda will hold in this case, there's no point in being Tevel and Tzricha Tefillah, there's no point in being Tevel since the Tefillah will not remove the Tumas Nida. But only in this case because she has a Tumas Nida, but if she would remain standing after she would be Meshamesh, she would not contact any more Tumas. Certainly Rabbi Yehuda will agree of a Keri greater, one who is a standalone Malkeri, Mechayiv, he would obligate him to be Tevel. So the point of the third case in the Mishnah is to highlight the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda to teach us, yes, Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the concept of Tumas Keri. It is only because in these cases there is a combination of two Tumas, and Rabbi Yehuda holds by being Tevel, it doesn't purify him completely, therefore he's not obligated to do so at all. But in summary, Rabbi Yehuda will agree that a Balkari is obligated to be Tevel. Says the Gemara, if so, we proved our point. If so, it must be that the interpretation in the Mishnah is erroneous. Lo yitema mevarech. Don't interpret it literally that Rabbi Yehuda holds that he's allowed to bless, he's allowed to make the bracha and utter it with his lips. Ella maharer, he's only allowed to contemplate. Rabbi Yehuda agrees. Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the Chachamim that there's a restriction on a Balkari, he may only contemplate. So in conclusion, we have three cases in the Mishnah. The first two cases was Zav and then became a Balkari, or a Nida and then she became a Balaskari. The Chiddush there is according to Shitas Rabbanon, although the initial Tumah did not require Tvila. And even now when they'll be Tevel, it won't remove that Tumah, nevertheless they are obligating him to be Tevel in order to speak words of Torah and Tvila. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we require the last case of the Mishnah. The last case of a Meshameshes, and then a Meshameshes, she became a Balskar, and then she became a Nida. That is a Chiddush according to Rabbi Yehuda, that is coming to inform us that only in this case, Rabbi Yehuda exempts them from being Tevel, since she has a Tumas Nida. But if one is a Tumas Keri, for instance, she will be Meshameshes and remain right there in place and not get the additional Tumas Nida, then even according to Rabbi Yehuda, they would be required to be Tevel because a Balkari is restricted from Torah and Tefillah just like the Rabbanon.